Well, hello, welcome back. It's Tom here with another episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. My mate this week is Joe Tresini. Now, Joe's episode, it's not a coincidence, is coming out on Mental Health Awareness Week. Joe has just put out a documentary on Channel 4 about his mental health struggles. He has borderline personality disorder, which I think we both refer to in this as BPD. That's what we're talking about there. He also talks about Mick, which is the name he has given his inner demon. So when we refer to Mick, that's what we're talking about there. As a trigger warning as well, the show does talk a lot about mental health struggles. It talks a lot about Joe's battle with his demons. It talks a lot about suicide as well. So that is a topic we go into. So again, if that's something which you don't fancy listening to today or ever, then that is your warning. However, it is a really good episode. I really hope you enjoy it. He's just the most delightful, funny, wonderful, warm human being. He also brought a dog with him. So what could possibly go wrong? So prepare for some excellent barking throughout the episode. And as I say, it is Mental Health Awareness Week this week. So at the end of the episode today, we will be throwing you some links and some places you can go if you are feeling like you might need help. All right. Enjoy the episode.
I like so to arrive nice a bit calm. It's so nice to see you.
It's
hello,
really,
mate.
Really good to see you. This is going to be fun and it's going to be fine.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
You need to sign into your Amazon account.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, right. So, I don't like podcasts.
Yeah.
Typically, because there's so many and you always have to sit with somebody.
Yeah.
But this is a very good idea.
Thank you very much.
And so I haven't had a look. What I did do was I opened the app and I did not know that this information was still available to me. And I looked through. So I started this Amazon account in 2012.
Great.
I left rehab February 2012.
Okay.
So everything that has been purchased in those years, I have been clean and sober. There is one purchase that I made in that time that I could deem to be awful enough to not give you access to the Amazon account. But I don't know if I got it on Amazon or a private website.
Yeah, okay.
And I've considered it and I've decided that I'm just going to give you the Amazon account. And if it's in there, it's in there. If it's not, thank fuck for that.
I think what this podcast needs, bearing in mind we've got a dog in here, and, you just had a coffee. There's already jeopardy.
Yep, appreciate that.
A little bit more jeopardy.
Yep.
Chuck it in the mix.
Yeah.
I want to say to you, in no uncertain terms, anything you don't want me to talk about, obviously,
let's
fucking move on, right?
Yeah.
Or we talk about it if you want to.
No, listen, if there's one thing I do nowadays, is if there's something happening that I think about, people could talk about it. So if it's in there, I've also just realised, because there's going to be some other weird shit that I've bought that isn't that much of an issue.
Okay.
And I hope that you don't see some of the other weird shit that I've bought and think that's the weird thing I'm talking about when it's not. Either way, I'm excited to see you, and there's no way that I'm going to stop the fun by not giving you the Amazon account. What's the point? We're all going to die one day. Let's have a laugh. Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Price talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah, my mate, Bought a Toaster. I just love that there will be something like, oh, I found the weird thing. No, that's just the pyjamas I like to wear. I wear leather pyjamas, Tom. That's not weird. Okay, that's not the weird thing. So, look, are you happy to sign in on my thing? And I have you got sign-in details? Yeah, I can have a go. Let me find the password.
What I'll do,
like
an open fire, I'll just stare at your dog. Because
please do.
We are joined today by Joe's dog. Winnie, who is a... Is she a Welsh corgi or just a corgi?
No, she's a Welsh Pembrokeshire.
Welsh Pembrokeshire.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she's great. She really is. So clever.
Yeah, well, she's Welsh, so...
Yeah, there you go.
Joe, I have your Amazon account in my hands. Are you ready to dive into your past?
No. I'm never ready. Even though the only reason we sat talking about my past is because I decided that's what I needed to do with my life. Yes. I'm still not comfortable with it.
Yeah. So that was a big thrust, wasn't it, in the documentary that is out. And I watched it last night. It's absolutely, it's heartbreaking. It's fascinating. It's funny. I love you so much from watching that show. You're so brilliant.
Thank you.
But one of the big thrusts of it is you're diving, the therapy thing, right? You're diving into the past. And this is the first time you've done that.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Like, I mean, I've, over the past, whatever, you know, 10 years, I've been in and out of some sort of therapy. But again, because there were so many things that I did that weren't address a mental illness for years. So when I was off me nut, I thought that being off me nut was my problem. And then when I stopped that and then became an alcoholic, I thought that was the problem. All of the times that I had a problem, that people told me what the problem was, as soon as I stopped doing that thing, I was still me. Because unfortunately, that's what I've just learned over time. There is a part of me that isn't well. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's sort of going back on my own life as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
To try and just make being awake a bit easier.
And when you're clearing off each of those things, drugs, alcohol, yeah, you're getting closer to the void, right? You're getting closer to the thing, yeah, the elephant in the room. That must send your anxiety, because you know deep down, yeah, you're getting close to the thing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a vicious circle with legs and a face. That's what I am. Every single time, I just keep going round and round, because also, I don't want to feel like this. Right. I don't think I deserve to feel like this. Right. And I don't need to add another point. That's enough, you know? And I think that, but from what you were just saying, yeah, that is the thing. As you go through, I've been trying to get better for longer than I was trying to die with drugs.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm proud of that.
Yes.
But it does, you know, when you've been doing it for this many years, you know, now trying just to be all right, it is quite soul-destroying when you do, when you really think, okay, this is the big problem, this is going to be it, and then you get to the end of that, and there's nothing. It's like just constantly, you know, when you play Super Mario, is that the amount of time? You'd never know how many baddies you get to, and every time you're like, oh, there's another one?
Yeah. Bowser a day.
There you go.
A Bowser a day.
Yes. They get that on a t-shirt.
Right, okay. Well, let's go back into your past. Let's just go Bowser by Bowser, guys. This is what we're going to do. So we are going to your orders, right? And we're going to just dive back into the past.
Yeah.
And we go back to 2012. This is, as you were saying, this is when you opened your account.
Yeah.
At this point, you've done rehab.
Yes.
And you have bought, the first thing you bought in June 2012, loads of Playmobil toys. Circus band, dog circus act, clown with flower, animal trailer.
Okay, this is terrific. Okay, right. That's the first thing that I bought in 2012, was it?
Yeah, June.
June 2012, the first thing that I bought was a Playmobil circus set. Oh, wow. Okay. So when I was about 7 or 8. Yeah. I was never big on toys. I just did magic. But I had a Playmobil circus set that had like a high wire thing, had a little magician, and you used to roll out the big top sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it was great. And it was the only toy that I ever had that I used that I loved. And I used to, you know, I used to pretend that the Playmobil people were doing shows and stuff. It's probably the closest to a normal child thing to do I ever did.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I bought when I got clean, was it? Oh, no. How much did I spend on the Playmobil?
You spent, well, you bought a load, 34, 5 quid, 31, I don't know. So about, oh, wow, 150.
Oh!
Yeah, we're knocking on 200, 220 quid, 250 quid, something like that.
In June?
And this is, yeah. So what time? When did you come out of rehab then?
February.
Okay.
Yes, that's... Okay. So what, that's 4 months.
Yeah.
4 months of no drugs. I thought it was a good idea to get the Playmobil.
And what did you do with them when you got them? Played?
Well,
set them up?
Yeah, well, again, like, this is a level of insight that I have not got available to me, because I've got no idea what I did with them, where they are.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a good idea. That's terrifying. That's what we're dealing with. That's the level of regression that I'm trying to grow up from.
I feel like... So I have a thing where I remember as a kid, certainly Mario, which talked about Bowser.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where I buy Nintendo stuff because I have really happy memories of playing Nintendo as a kid.
Yeah.
So you do that thing. So you buy it and you find yourself going through the motions. So whether you're playing with Playmobil or playing Mario.
Yeah.
And at the age of whatever I was, 30, say, thinking, this is rubbish. Don't tell Tom, but this is rubbish. And... You're like, you refuse to believe you're not 7 anymore because you still feel like you're 7.
Yeah.
You're not.
No.
And then you feel the shame thing. You're like, why have I just spent, whatever it was, 300 quid on a load of Nintendo crap?
Yeah.
And you're never going to get the same hit, are you?
No. Something that I've experienced time and time again.
Yeah. And then you have the moment of someone walking into your room saying, what's all the...
Yeah, why are you...
playing Playmobil.
Why are you playing... Yeah, what's going on? Why have you got Donkey Kong? You're 35.
Don't get me wrong, it's a good game.
It's a fantastic game, absolutely.
Playing all stuff is good. So that's your opening gambit, right?
That's where I've set the bar.
I think that's sweet, though. See that. I mean, yeah, tightrope artist, circus. It's a real circus theme. Clown with flower. I mean, you don't need to be Dr. Bloody Freud, do you? You know what I mean? You're buying the Playmobil, the entertainers, the performers.
Yeah.
Because this is in your DNA. This is in your blood.
That's it. It wasn't a decision at all. No. So I do feel... thank you for making me feel slightly better about the fact that I ordered so much Playmobil.
Yeah, I think you should.
I think it's great.
I think it's nice. I think we then go through till December, right? Yeah. So obviously you've been busy from June.
Yeah.
With your Playmobil.
Yeah.
And then
Oh, God, yeah. That's going to feel... Then again, no. But the reason I was buying that is because I didn't like putting effort into things. So I always liked Lego, but you've got to really work at that.
Well, you have Lego, especially ADHD-wise, hyper-focus, right? So I get on Lego still now with the kids, not really ever play anymore. I'm like, I can lose 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that's always something I talk about, like the desire to lose 3 or 4 hours. I can't do that. I can't. It's not something I'm able to do unless I get the hyper-focus.
Do something like that and actually have something else to put it in, to put your attention in.
Do you do that or are you always just like, next thing?
No, unfortunately, because I'm constantly sort of batting out. Like, I've got so many broken bits of my brain, I might have that hyper-focus thing, but I've also got depression. So I'm hyper-focused. I really want to do the Lego, but I'm also sad about it. So whatever I'm doing, there always seems to be something else that's... And sometimes it might be positive. It might help a little bit. But yeah, no shit like that is something, again, that's not attainable for me. Hyper-focus for 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
No.
This podcast is a 3 to 4 hour recording, just so you
know. I'm glad that you're here then.
Please sit down, put your feet up and relax. Listen to these tales of funny people buying funny things from a company that doesn't pay its tax. Oh, yeah.
End of the year, lots of things for dummies. Writing children's books for dummies, playwriting for dummies, creative writing for dummies, screenwriting for dummies. Again, it's the thing we see again and again on this show, right?
Mm.
People buy stuff on Amazon because they want, they're trying to change stuff and they're... It's that sort of aspiration thing of going, I'm going to do that. And it arrives and they never look at it again.
Yeah.
It's a common thread.
Yes, absolutely. Even though I've not said the last bit of the thing you just said.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what happened.
Say it again.
Yeah. Say it again. But also, though, that's quite nice. Well, on me, I'll be having a go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
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 You're having a bloody go.
Yeah.
So, and did you write stuff? I mean, obviously the stand-up, the show that you've done and talk about in the documentary.
Yeah.
How do you find the process of writing stuff?
Awful.
Yeah.
Because I'm the one that's got to do it. Yeah. And that's a nightmare.
You can't train the dog, Winnie, to do it.
No, unfortunately not. No, I can't train her to do anything. So, that's not going to help. No, but also what's frustrating as well, I think, is that I feel like a different person now. There was a point in time where I was able to write and I went through a really good, about 2018, 2019.
Okay.
A really sort of a productive time in my life where I thought I was doing well, and then I was able to write. I was enjoying writing. I was writing loads of different things.
Yeah, because when you're writing in that free, flowing, disinhibited space, right?
Yes.
That is so precious and so delicate, and that can fall apart for me in a heartbeat. Like, the whole project's gone, done.
Oh, my God, yeah. Done. Have to be so careful with it. Mm. Have to be so careful with it. I deleted my book twice.
God, you deleted it.
Deleted it. First time wasn't too bad because it was about 13,000 shit words. But the second time I deleted about 30, 40,000 words.
Joe.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the thing that I always struggle with is I'll write a load of stuff, right? I've written sitcom pilots, written like 6 over the last 20 years. And they're all shit. And then I go back and read them 6 years later and go, that's just quite good, though. When I'm...
Not in that space. Absolutely. That's such a good idea.
You have to do that.
Yeah, but also, though, I struggle to visit things I did yesterday. So, like, to go back on that. But then again, I suppose, that is a good thing to do.
Yeah, it helps. It helps. I mean, we are visiting a lot of things you did yesterday here.
Yeah, awful.
All right, let me go into 2013, okay?
Yeah.
Quite a lot of purchases in 2013.
Doesn't shock me.
Obviously, you bought the 10th anniversary concert at the Royal Albert Hall by...
10th anniversary, Royal Albert Hall. Oh, no, not 10th. Is it a musical?
It's McFly.
It's McFly.
McFly.
Was it a DVD?
Yeah,
good. Didn't watch that. Didn't watch it.
Oh, shame.
No.
Probably on YouTube now.
There you go.
TBH.
Winner.
Loads of Darren Brown and Tim Minchin.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah, loved hearing about that. And again, so that's me trying to get that. That's creative writing for dummies. That's the same thing. That's me going, okay, what I want to do is magic, but be really casual. Yeah. And I also want to do comedy songs. So that's, you know, that's me trying to get out of the hole that I exist in.
Yeah. Looking for the influence, looking for someone to like, yeah.
Yeah, and just watching things that I was that I liked, in the hope that it would, you know, make me feel not shit or at least capable of doing something.
I find I know I'm in a bad place when I don't watch any comedy.
Yeah,
because that's ostensibly what I am trying to do with my life, right?
Yeah,
and then I sometimes go, I've not watched, and people go, "You seen that sitcom?" No, I haven't watched it. And it's because I'm not happy.
Yeah.
And you have to expose yourself to people doing stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be really good. And I've always struggled with that. You have to.
I relate to that heavily.
Yeah.
Because it is difficult to watch other people doing good.
Because we're competitive pricks.
Not doing good. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Because also it adds more weight to the "you're a fucking prick" voice, right?
Yeah.
If you watch people doing good, well, you're not as good as him. So well. If I'm doing a comedy night, I have to go on first, right?
Yeah.
I'll do really well and think that's lovely, and then I'll sit there, and other people start doing well, and I'm like, I'm not enjoying it anymore. Why?
What? Yeah, it's so cruel.
It's so cruel.
It's cruel. And it takes so much energy to be like that as well.
Yeah.
Like, I only found out who Richard Gadd was last week. I didn't know of Richard Gadd. You know, and I've now spent 10 days looking at everything Richard Gadd has ever done, being like, oh, man, this is great. And, oh, wow, he struggled. And like, learning about what he's done. You know, I've done that. And there's still a part of me right now that going, you're not Richard Gadd.
Yeah.
I wish I was Richard Gadd. Like, again, like, give me a break. It doesn't.
I know.
This is not a real thing.
I don't want to go and experience culture stuck. And pretty much if I'm trying to write a book or anything, I don't want to experience it because it puts more stuff in the weapons armory for the bad voices, right? It puts more stuff in there.
Yeah.
So at any point, they can open the cupboard door and go, oh, who have we got today? Richard Gadd. That's who you're not. Thanks.
See you tomorrow.
It's so annoying.
Awful. It's awful. It's horrible.
So annoying.
Glad it's not just me, though.
It's not just you. I mean, it's not just you. It's really not just you. Look, we've talked about Nintendo. They're obviously getting sponsored for this episode. Loads of stuff on the N64, Super Mario 64.
The N64?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did I purchase one of those? I didn't know that I've ever had one. That's it. I'm almost certain I only bought it probably because I wanted to play GoldenEye. And I definitely would have got it somewhere like CEX.
But it's quite, you've gone retro here. These are retro games. Mega Bomberman. Oh my God, I love that game.
Mega Bomberman.
But again, is this you playing games that you once played as a kid?
I assume so. Yeah, certainly. Yeah. It's definitely me trying to fill the gap.
Yeah. But we reach back and grab the things. We grab the rungs from when we were a kid.
Yeah.
And then you grab them and you're like, oh, they're not working.
No.
Buy more things.
Yeah.
We all do that to
this day. Well, help. Stuff. Bom, bom, mommy.
Okay, I found the thing that you're deeply ashamed of. Coldplay Fix You. So,
again, though, how cliche is that? That's the one song that I wanted to listen to in 2013. I bet it was acoustic.
Do you know what? You got the piano music for it.
Oh, that's nice.
Did you play the piano?
No.
Why did you buy the piano music?
Yeah, that's it. The piano music in that sentence, that's, you can put so many different words there and it would make sense. Why did I do that? I've got no idea. But again, that's how I want to do things. I'm like, I want to sing that song.
Yeah.
So I'll get the music for an instrument that I can't play.
Yeah.
And then, but that's the thing, is because in my head, I'll be like, this will be great because I'll sing that as soon as it arrives.
Yeah.
And then when it arrives, my head will go, you can't play that. You're a wanker.
So do you think the person making you buy that stuff, that feels like youthful, innocent sort of hope, right?
Yeah.
And then part of you might know when you buy that, I'm not going to be able to do this.
Mm.
So it's more grist of the mill for the...
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah. The thing is, obviously I know that I can't do that before, during... ordering something like that.
Yeah.
But I think why it's so cruel having this sort of thing going on in my head is because I'm not given that piece of the information until it comes. So like, I could have, you know, not spent £4 on that music, but I think it's a great idea until it's in front of me, and then I immediately go, why the fuck have you done that?
Yeah.
You're worthless. You're good at nothing. I'm good at some things, but I don't buy those things.
Mm. I mean, everyone feels a certain amount of shame when, you know, Coldplay merchandise arrives.
Absolutely, yeah.
But for you, that's a medical level.
It's another level, absolutely.
You haven't bought any another level. Please don't tell me there's
another
level.
Oh my God,
level.
No. First time I thought about them in years. Oh, I bought so many embarrassing things. Pixie
Right, 2014, yeah. Joe. Oh, look, three-pieces scissors set and black box. Thank you, Winnie. She's triggered by scissors.
She, yes, very much so.
This is going to be a haircut.
What sort of black box?
Oh, no, they're in a black box.
Oh, yeah, scissors in a black box. Yeah, well, the reason I'm buying scissors, that's for magic. That's because of my rope trick. That's the rope trick that I used to do. I'll be buying scissors for that. Because that's something else that I used to do as well, is I used to not... I'd have to constantly buy new scissors because I used to get rid of sharp things from my life on a regular basis, particularly... you know, it's a nightmare being a suicidal magician because I've always got rope. And I used to... yeah, it's such a bad joke. I know, yeah, it's the worst joke that I ever
Please
say.
Tell me you use that
yeah,
line.
Yeah, all the
oh,
time,
it's
yeah.
It's a good line.
Yeah, I did. I really fought for it to be in the documentary. But I was like, no, you can't say that in public. I was like, all right.
Oh, you said it on our show.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Fuck you,
that.
Channel 4.
Yeah, so I used to get scissors. I had to get new scissors a lot, which is why I'm purchasing them there. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, it does. It does make sense. Yeah. Yeah. And are you doing magic gigs at this point in 2014? What are you up to?
Yeah.
Are you in Hollyoaks now, or has that happened?
I've pretty much done. Aside from a couple of a year when I went back to do like four eps.
I love those phone calls. How much is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll
yeah.
see you there. Yeah. Yeah. But the reason it was that on because I was in a family with lots of attractive people, and there was one member of that family that was still there after we'd all left, and that man died.
Hang on, in real life or in fictional life?
Fictional life.
Thank God.
Yeah. And then they rung round all of the attractive members of the family, all of whom turned it down. And I knew they were going to ask me because I'd been told by all of them, have they phoned you? Have they asked you to come back? Because they've asked, once they, everybody had been asked.
Oh my God, it's brutal.
Yeah. Then I got that email and I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
This doesn't happen to teachers.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Not at all.
Do a proper job, guys. Why do we do this to ourselves?
I know.
We've all had these moments, actors, performers, where you know other people have been called up and you just wait for it to come.
Yeah.
Our professional choice is just reinforcing that thing all the time.
Mm. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. So,
and then you have to go to a bloody funeral.
Yeah. Right? Awful. My mate,
so by 2014, Hollyoaks is done.
Yeah.
And what are you up to? Are you doing magic gigs?
Yes and no. Through that time, I was living in a bit of a fantasy world because I was clean and I think sober. Yeah, I was 2014. But the BPD started to really kick off at that time. So
the BPD had been sort of background and then really came...
Yeah, it turned out that drink and drugs were medications for me, which is not uncommon. But it was only when I stopped drinking and drugs... And then I started to behave in ways that were objectively worse than when I was off my nut.
Yeah.
I started stealing and things like that.
Do you have memories of doing that? Or was
yeah,
that
I do. Yeah, like I do. I remember it to a certain degree, but there is a level of insanity that I existed at that I wasn't able to match up. So I was in a relationship with my ex and we lived in Manchester. She was working and I wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I had a few different realities that I was living in my head. I was getting ready to do a show. I had a big magic show that I was going to do. Mm. So I was writing and buying magic for the show.
Yeah.
But there was no show. It was not a thing. I'd made it up. I was living in a fantasy world where I was thinking, right, this is going to be a really big gig. So you need to get this right. And for about 4 or 5 months, I was working on a show that didn't exist.
Okay.
And I'd never mentioned it to anybody else.
Did any part of you know it didn't exist?
I must have done. Absolutely must have done. But I was so dissociated from that sort of thing. It didn't click in my head. So I'd go around, you know, if my ex, wherever she was working, I'd go and see her. I'd be completely normal there. Yeah. There's not like a constant like niggle in my head going, why are you lying about this? I never felt like I was lying because it just was, my brain just worked in that different way.
And what was the point at which you went, I need to fucking sort this out?
It was when it was a stealing front. It was a stealing front.
What did you steal?
Money. Money. Yeah. It was a nightmare. I mean, I talked about it in the book. When I did, a couple of years ago, I wrote a book. Mm. And I go into it in that because I stole, essentially, it was about 30 grand that I stole from a friend. Mental illness, that you know, it's not an excuse for bad behaviour, but it's an explanation.
Yes.
And what I did was I took a picture of a friend's card and then I spent money on magic. In 2 weeks, which was awful.
Do you still speak to that person?
No.
Have you paid the money back?
Yes. Immediately, I took a loan out. I'm still paying it off. But that, keeping that event as a secret was keeping me sicker than I needed to be. Again, I wish that I didn't have to bring that up. Again, that's the first time I said there was a point a couple of years ago where I was saying that, I was saying it, so I was in the rhythm, and still now, it's still kind of weird that people know about that.
Yeah. How often do you think about it?
Every day still. I still think about it every day. But in the past couple of years, I've been able to take some of the emotion out of it. So that does help a little bit.
Has the person forgiven you?
Oh, I would assume so.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the last thing, I remember the last time that we spoke, and I said, that I apologised and said what I'd done. The last thing that they said was, are you okay? Have you had a drink? And I said, no. And they said, well, just look after yourself. This was a long time ago now. Yeah. And it was at that point, it was that. That happening, and my family finding out about that, and me finding out as well, because it was a 2-week period that I spent all that money, and then my brain was like, no, it's not a thing, don't think about it.
So, 2 weeks, that is a shit Brewster's Millions,
right?
Fucking hell, 30 grand in 2 weeks. It's just magic kit. Mad magic
by kit. Magic tricks. It was when everybody found out about that, and my ex, I remember we were sat in our bedroom, and obviously she didn't believe that I'd done this, because that's she couldn't. But when I explained it to her and she realised that I wasn't lying, she said, you've got to live with that. You have to live with the fact that you've done that now. And that was the first time in my life that I had considered having to live with repercussions, because I'd spent so many years just running at walls, hoping at some point I'd just die. When she said that, that was when I realised, okay, I've got to know that forever.
Yeah.
And then that was the day that I, for the first time, really felt like I wouldn't be able to live with the repercussions of a bad thing.
Yeah.
And that's when I consider to be my borderline personality disorder, that he woke up that day.
Okay.
He woke up that day where everybody found out about an awful thing that I did that I couldn't take back.
Yeah.
And that was what got him out of his cave.
And there's no amount of... Because all I'm thinking when you say this, I just want to say, like, you need to forgive yourself and people have done worse things. I can think of all these clichés, but you have to do that with yourself, right? That's the whole point of this thing. And that's why talking about it helps, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's not that much. 30 grand. Come on, that's one, mate, that's one Ocado shop.
The thing is, it depends what months you buy it. Again, it's not a nice... it's about... I consider my job to be just don't kill yourself now. I need to stay alive. I get that. There are a lot of people that care about me more than I do. Yeah. And I understand that even on my worst days, I do need to get through for them, if not for me, on a better day.
Yeah, not least this creature in the corner of the room. Who's
absolutely,
looking at us
running. And I love her very much.
She is literally gearing up for another bath, by the way. It's hilarious to watch. Hilarious. Yeah. It's really interesting as well. When you get agitated, she reacts to it.
Yeah, that's... And it's interesting that you notice that.
Of course.
Absolutely. If I'm... She can really film... And the more agitated I get at home, the closer she is. As
dogs
a response.
Dogs.
She's amazing.
God, I love dogs. Do you hear that, cats? Do you hear that? You wouldn't fucking do that, would you? If that was a cat, it'd be out of the room.
She needs to go to the toilet.
Take a pause. Or,
is that a nightmare? Is that okay?
No, it's fine. We've got we can go for another like half an hour.
Is that all right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm going to take you.
Oh.
What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
We had a little break there, didn't we, Joe? We went outside. We took Winnie for a walk. Do you want to tell everyone what? Just very quickly. We haven't got long left.
She clearly wanted the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Bad belly, diarrhoea all over the floor.
Yeah.
In the centre of London.
She'd gone poo-poo in Soho.
Poo-poo in Soho.
She's not the first, she won't be the last.
No. And because it wasn't in front of our building, you went and got some water and blue roll, and I just stood over it. And
crucially, I took Winnie with me. So you...
Looked like I chapped myself. Thanks for your continued support.
Oh my God, I mean, that is my comedic G-spot.
Absolutely.
G-spot. Leaving a man standing next to a pile of poo that looks like it could be his.
Absolutely.
And you made friends with randoms. Of course you did, Joe, because that's
all
what you
them. Do. Yep, they were all lovely. The receptionist from that, I looked so bad there. The receptionist from a building I was not working at came out with water and said, "It's okay, dear, I'm just going to wash it away. You're good enough to stand there."
Did you say, "Could you douche me while you're here?"
No, I did not ask Sonia the receptionist to douche me. No. No, and I don't regret that.
She's at the door now.
Oh, my God.
And she's coming in. All right, so meanwhile, back at the show.
Yeah.
We're in 2015 now, okay? We've only got about 20 minutes left, so we're going to just try and have a good old... We're going to do a bit of a romp through now, okay?
I'm having a nice time.
Are you?
Yeah, genuinely. So am I.
I'm really happy you're here. This is so good. And I think it's so important that you have... I know it's... Everything you say about mental health stuff can always sound so patronising and trite, and I'm really conscious of that, but it's so brilliant that you're having these conversations, and it's so brave, and it must be so fucking difficult to do this stuff.
I appreciate it. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Difficult, so good. It is difficult. It's not brave. I'm glad you said difficult. Brave is the general
thing. Is that the
annoying
thing. One?
Well, it doesn't annoy me because I know that I know exactly what is meant by it. And it's not offensive, but... It shouldn't be brave. I shouldn't have to be brave. It's just a thing that you talk about, you know? So it's not... if somebody calls me brave, I don't go, "Don't say that, that's
no,
awful."
No, but yeah, I get it.
But
yeah,
it is one of those things. Difficult's a really good way of doing it, because it is difficult. It's not brave. The only reason it couldn't be considered brave is because it's about shame. So it's difficult to talk about things that you're ashamed or scared of. Mm. But I do it for me. If I'm ever sat talking about suicide, drugs, any of these things, if I'm talking about it, that's great. Somebody else gets help. But I'm the only person I'm trying to help is me.
And it's when you go quiet that's danger.
Yeah.
Talking about it, the noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and it never gets any easier if you're having a really bad day, but it's always worth it.
Let's play through some of these things, okay?
Go on.
Trident Splash Chewing Gum.
What?
Magic Trick Sponge Frog.
Okay.
12 permanent double-sided adhesive tape roller pens. Just stop me.
12?
Yeah, 12.
What year?
2015.
Oh, God.
GHDV Goldmax Styler.
Hair straighteners. Yeah, genuinely would have been for me. Yeah, you're the only person that can see my scalp right now, but I do not have much hair on the top of my head. And it is quite sincerely because I used to straighten my hair within an inch of its life.
To give yourself the little...
Yes. Well, I used to spike my entire hair up. I used to do it. I used to have a full head of hair.
Yes.
I know everybody did at some point.
Yeah.
But I had that. And if that this is 2015,
yeah.
Was it? Yeah. I lost the majority of my hair in 2013.
Okay.
So that's the level of good decision-making I was existing at there.
It's that like, Homer Simpson level of... Just looking after the one or two.
I hate this. I hate my head. And right, there is no part of my being that is comfortable with what's happening to the top of my head. But I also don't suit being bald.
Have you done the full
ever?
Wax off?
No, I've never done it all. Yeah, but the thing is I know that the 8 hairs that exist on my head in the middle, they're not going to have enough self-respect to grow back if I shave everything.
So you'll be cutting the cords then? That's it?
Absolutely.
All ties with hair gone?
Yeah. And like, I only just stay alive with how I look now. It seems like a bit too much of a risk. So this is it. I still use wax even though I shouldn't.
It looks great. We're both bald survivors. You just have to... The thing... I remember someone telling me the thing about being bald, right? Because I was thinking about the turkey trip. I was thinking, I'm going to go out and get a thatch.
Yeah, why not?
Well, tell you why, because it doesn't always work. No. And secondly, the only person who cares that you're bald, only one person who cares. You.
Yeah.
And as soon as someone said that to me, I was like, oh, yeah, so if I stop caring, no one else.
It's so true. We like to listen to Toast. And we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host,
we still like to listen to Toast. La, la, la. There's obviously a lot of magic stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Premier Housewares Ice Bucket. You've bought an ice bucket in December 2015.
Yeah. Again, it's magic. That's it. This is me buying magic things. That would not be... I would have already had a bucket. I was just getting that bucket because I thought, tell you what, my miser's dream illusion needs.
Mm-hmm. And is this for a show that was actually happening, or are we at the stage where, okay...
Right. Yeah, at no point were any of these shows happening.
So
ever.
Every time these things arrived, part of you would go...
The entire childhood that I was living sort of pretending to do magic and pretending to do shows, you know, I do it in the documentary. I show those, the bits of when I was 8, pretending I was doing a show. it started happening again when I was, you know, when I just got clean and sober.
Yeah.
But I was doing it in the real world as opposed to just on my own to pretend that life wasn't actually happening when I was fucking eight.
Yeah.
It's quite terrifying actually to think, because I've not thought about this and through those years, because also what I was actually buying magic stuff elsewhere. So why I was
so
getting some other
fraction of stuff we're seeing here.
I was getting accessories at Amazon.
Yeah, but it, yeah.
You're fine, Matt. You make me feel better about being really weird, and it's nice.
No, I'm not. I mean, I want you to feel better, obviously, but I'm really interested in about it. I just find it really important that people. I guess it's the understanding thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's just that idea that this is all for fiction. This is all for thing that isn't going to happen, and it's all an attempt to go back. It's all an attempt to go back. That's what. And again, we saw it with the first thing you did was bought Playmobil stuff. You're trying to go back.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to cope. I'm trying to cope. And go back
by going back.
Yeah, by going back and to obviously that feeling of like I want to go back to, because it wasn't. I was not aware of these things. Everything I'm aware of now, I was not aware of when I was eight.
Yeah.
So it's trying to get back there, absolutely, which is what all the
So we just need a time machine, basically.
Yeah. Good.
Easy peasy. All right. Look, let's power on through, Joe. See if you found a time machine. We've got some boxing gloves. This is 2018 now, by the way.
Boxing gloves.
We're leaping into the future here. 2018.
Right. Okay.
Boxing gloves, inflatable, adult, fancy dress, costume, Christmas time.
Panto.
How are you finding performing? So this is a panto that actually existed, eh?
Yes. This is an actual panto. All pantos actually happened. Yes. Always.
How do you find doing these shows with the BPD on board? I mean, how do you go about doing that?
Panto has always been the thing that I felt like I was good at. I've always been confident that I'm not shit at doing panto.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it's
so shots make, panto shots make up.
Panto shots make up to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and again, like, it's, you know, Sod's Law with my brain, you know, of course the thing that I'm best at only happens for a month a year. But, you know, I always enjoyed it. And, you know, aside from when I was really off me nut, I there was one Christmas doing panto where I was using drugs, which was just before I got clean. Mm. Apart from that, I was always sober. I was always clean at Christmas because I enjoyed doing it. And because also being on stage is a safe place to be, you know, because I've got something to think about that isn't me, you know, and I can just get up and I enjoy it.
And also, a panto, you can wobble, you can go around, you can go off a script, you can play.
Yeah.
The kids, there, it's got that sort of fresh kind of spontaneity to it.
Yeah.
Doing a show, like doing a play, is my idea of hell.
Yeah.
When you're locked into a character.
Yeah. And around other people that are locked into characters. Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
What about acting gigs then? What about straight acting gigs?
I've done a couple over the past couple of years. I've done a few. Harder than ever, actually, to do straight acting gigs now, I've found it. I found it quite difficult to keep calm and feel like, you know, it was something that I was comfortable doing. Yeah. Not least because I didn't get acting work for years after I left Hollyoaks. So I didn't act until, well, 2 years ago was the first time.
Wow.
So okay. I'd sort of made my peace with, like, okay, probably not going to be acting anymore.
Yeah.
I was just going to do presenting. So the fact that I've had another go at little bits is great.
That's so typical of acting to do that. Acting is like a cat.
In what sense?
In the sense that you show it love and it's not interested in you.
There you go.
You ignore it and it comes trotting over to you.
Yeah.
Magic, panto, stand-up, that's the dog.
Yes.
Always ready and waiting. Always there for you. At the door. Let's go. Let's have some fun. Acting is this weird sort of, it'll get its claws out, it'll hurt you, and then it'll walk off. That's how I feel about it.
I've got nothing to add. That's a really nice way of putting it.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so true.
For it. Whenever a big acting job comes along, there's still no rush quite like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then the reality of getting the job dawns.
Yeah, but again, like, there are so many things that just make no sense. If I'm offered something, even if it's like, would you like to do this play for 3 weeks in the middle of nowhere? I'm like, acting? Hey, all right, yeah.
Yes. And then you put the phone down, you're like,
yeah.
No.
You've got to go and do that now, you wanker. Yeah.
So going forward, how are you feeling about that? How are you feeling about, because, you know, your profile again with this documentary that's coming out and is a must-see, I cannot recommend it enough, people must watch it. Work is going to come your way, be it stand-up, be it acting. How do you feel about going into jobs in the future?
I feel like at this point in my life, and again, what this needs to be the start for me is I intrinsically linked my career and my illness.
Yes.
Not intentionally entirely, it was just because of the nature of the lockdowns and things.
Yeah.
That's how it came out of me and it helped. It's now counterproductive. My life is very difficult. And because of the way that I view the world has gotten so dark nowadays, any work that comes in, I am going to be happy to do, because I need to start trying to separate my illness and my career.
Yeah.
But I've got to really double down to do that. I need to, which is why I'm sort of where I'm at with it now.
Yeah.
And why I'm grateful to have been able to do the documentary in the way that I wanted to do it.
Because
this is the start of me trying to step away from my illness as much as I can.
Yes.
And the only way that I can do that is just by telling everybody everything. And then hopefully,
yes,
one, I'm not on my own with it anymore. And then I might be safe enough to step away with help. So many people want to help me.
Yes.
There are so many people, and I'm so lucky. There are so many people that live with this stuff that are, you know, that struggle to talk about it and tell people. I'm very lucky because I honestly thought this would catch on. When I first started talking about thinking about killing myself, I thought everybody's going to be, it's going to be great. It's going to be a huge chat.
Guys, anyone else?
Yeah, just me. Still, all these years later, I'm still the only one talking about it because it's hard talking about it. But I've tried other ways of living, and you know, even though this isn't easy, it's worth trying to get through.
You have to be honest. You just have to be honest and authentic. Be yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
As soon as you're putting up the filters and the walls, that's it. You're done.
Oh, God, yeah. As soon as I start being anything other than me there, I'm knackered. Bum, bum, my
We haven't found the great source of shame.
No.
Well, it's a good thing. Guitar? Got a guitar there? Got yourself a guitar?
Oh, yeah. There's probably, I'm sure there's about 48 ukuleles on there as well, Tom, isn't there? Jesus.
Do you play ukulele or guitar?
Yeah, I play ukulele.
Oh, there you go.
But four chords.
Of course you do, yes. Yeah. You do the show, yeah.
Doing
the
show. And I used to play guitar, but I plateaued at the same level of shit that I deemed unacceptable.
Okay. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to jump into the last few months, okay? We're going to see the last few things that you've bought and find out where you're at right now, okay?
Yeah.
So again, this is someone who is, I'm sorry to say, you're looking after yourself, right? That's what I see.
Thanks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
And you are the third person to buy this product on this show. I got one for myself.
Yeah.
Catherine Bohart bought one.
Right.
And now Joe Tresini bought the Hofasson Head Massager Scalp Scratcher. It used to be called the Orgasmatron.
Yeah, the thing where you put it in the thing there.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
They are amazing. Yeah. That is a man who is self-coaching. Joe, how's your mental health? It's much better.
I'm looking after my skull. That's where my brain lives and it needs help.
It's a sensitivity overload, isn't it? Because it's all these tiny little metal fingers on your head.
Yeah.
It is absolutely...
And you just go, oh, that sort of... But I bought it specifically because I saw a great video of a bloke that used one on his corgi. And the corgi loved it. Like, it was the best. Like, I went and got Holly up. I was like, Holly, look at this corgi. I'm going to get one of these.
Wow.
So I got that.
So, do you use it, or is it just for the dog?
Well, I got it out. I had one go on me because, fantastic. And then I showed her, and she was so scared. She sort of did a 360 jump and then tried to bite my ankles.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Standard for a corgi, to be honest.
Right.
I wonder if the royal family know that's available.
Right.
Can you imagine?
They've got nothing else on. And I think that's the kind of shit that I imagine happening in a palace, I hope.
And then it's like a sort of little crown for each dog.
Yeah, that's such a nice way of putting it.
That's lovely. You can just, I bet the Queen used to have an orgasmatron for her corgis, right?
There you go.
And she'd go, I crown you one of my dogs. And she'd just go around the corgis. Patreon.com/toasterpod. All right, so look, the last thing we are seeing you buy recently, you have bought loads of stuff for coffee machine. You have bought loads of stuff for the vaping machine, the coils things.
I specifically bought coffee machine cleaners. So I bought a filter and I bought the espresso tablets because I spent far too much money on a coffee maker a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it said you need to change all of the filter water things for 2 years now, and I at no point have I done anything other than just push the remind me button. So when those things came, I learned that I really should have cleaned my coffee machine quite a while ago.
It's just
because it was fucking rancid.
But it's the, I mean, was it affecting the taste of the coffee or your health?
I'd like to say no.
Oh, but possibly was.
Maybe, because it was really dirty. Like, I learned that it's one of those things that you can always see how much water's in the tank because it's got a little sort of like shaft where it's, you can see in there.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise there was a light in that part of the filter.
Oh, wow.
Until I cleaned it out and, yeah, there's two LEDs in there so that you can see it.
And a goldfish. Who knew?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just swimming around the things you discover. But this is the problem with these gadgets. You buy them and you're just basically buying a new child to look after. My Nespresso machine is on a Wi-Fi thing. Right. So it emails me when it needs cleaning.
What? My coffee machine?
I can literally be going, sorry, Joe, one second. I've just had an email from my coffee machine.
Right.
I mean, how are we supposed to be sane with that stuff going
Absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I can't stop thinking about killing myself. Shit like that. That's not a world that I want to be in.
Listen, the final thing you bought, right?
Yeah.
Final thing you bought most recently, and we talked about this a little bit earlier on. You've bought Baby Reindeer, Modern Plays, the Richard Gadd, the original play that led to the TV series, right? So here you are, you've watched the thing on Netflix, presumably.
Yeah.
And you see, like we all do, you see the thing at the end that says based on a play, and you go, oh, hello.
How'd you do that? Because I just saw you loads of people doing it. I can't imagine how you would have put that on your own. Yeah. Also, I thought he was great. I thought I related to it in lots of ways. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, my life is always better if I think something's good, if I learn about that, the good thing.
And if you write, as he has done, a fictionalised account of this trauma that he went through, could you see yourself getting to a place where you can do that? That's a very healing thing to do, by all accounts.
Absolutely. And I think the thing is, that seems like, again, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I don't know her, and I didn't see Fleabag, but it's the same sort of thing where they did a show.
Yeah.
They then took the show to Edinburgh. They did it in London, did it around the world. Then they got to put it on the telly.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. But I not accidentally appear to be doing it the other way around. So I've been trying to do a show that's going on the telly now.
Yeah.
And then I kind of want to do it backwards. So, yeah, so after this, if I go on a tour around the world, then take it to Edinburgh, then do it twice in my mum's house, call it a day in 2026.
A sort of Benjamin Button approach.
Yeah, you go.
That's really nice. That's really nice. Okay, well, we'll all be there at your mum's house to watch the final performance of that show, right? Which is going to be a beautiful, fictionalised version of your life and the things that have happened to you. And it is the most healing thing you can do. You turn it into fiction. You don't own it quite so much, right? Yeah. You do, however, own many of the things you've bought today.
All of them.
So grateful to you for opening up. Like this has been brilliant, and thank you, Joe Trissini. Give us one last quick plug for the show. So what's the show called? Where can you watch it, all that shit?
The documentary is called Me and the Voice in My Head, it'll be on like 4OD and all that sort of thing, hopefully forever.
Really unfortunate name for the digital platform there,
right?
For Mental Health Week.
Hadn't thought about it. Absolutely true. 4OD.
For don't OD, please.
Wow, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Let's go with that.
Amazing.
Joe, I love you. Thank you.
I love you too, mate. So nice to see you. Genuinely, thank you.
You're brilliant. Thanks again to Joe Trissini, and thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you have been affected by anything today, and if you are struggling with your mental health in any shape or form, then the best thing to do is, I don't know, there's so many things you could do, but I recommend going to mind.org.uk. That's mind, mind.org.uk. It's Mental Health Awareness Week, and there's a lot of help out there. Do not suffer in silence. That's my advice. Thanks to Joe Trissini. We'll see you next week when I'll be joined by the wonderful Marcus Brigstock with some big truths. On the 16th of December 2012, you bought a coin sorter. Revelations are plenty heading your way. The Marcus Brigstock episode is a belter. It's going to be up at patreon.com/toasterpodvv soon. All right, all the best. Lots of love. Kind regards.